leaven. First, we need to settle for all, once and for all, what leaven is a symbol of in the Bible. Secondly, we need to find out what the rest of the verse means. Now, look where it says a woman took and hid. Now, we have found in our study of the Bible that a woman usually is symbolic of a false religion. You recall in our study of Revelation chapter 17 and 18, we found that a woman, and particularly a bad woman, because a woman is not supposed to have a place of leadership in a church. Mary Baker Eddy and Amy Simple McPherson, with an accent on the simple, are out of place. Because the woman is not supposed to have a place of leadership. If this had been a good thing, ladies, it would have been a man hiding it instead of a woman hiding it. Then it says it was hid. The leaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid. Now, if this leaven is the gospel, now lots of folks say this. Here's a general idea about this verse. They say that that's a sign of Jesus taking the gospel and putting it in the world. And the gospel grows and grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. But it ain't growing, you know. And it grows and grows and grows and grows. Until finally the whole world shall be leavened with the influence of the gospel. I've heard them preach it 1,000 times. I almost know it by heart. Why, they say our great Baptist work. It's like taking a little seed of the gospel and planting it in the world. And through all of our great institutions, all the great program of the work, it shall grow and grow and grow until one day the Baptist shall win the world. And their spines tingle and they say, hey man, that sounds good. Sure, but it ain't going to happen. That's all there is to it. Man, listen, liquor dealers are growing faster than Baptists ever thought about growing. The world is never going to get converted. Now, if leaven is a symbol of the gospel, then, and you believe that in chapter 13 of Matthew and verse 33, the leaven is symbolic of the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you cannot be a premillennialist. Because a premillennialist says that the world is not going to get any better, but that evil men shall wax worse and worse, and seducers shall come, and the world shall get worse and worse and worse and worse, until finally Jesus Christ shall come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If that be the case, leaven is not a symbol of the gospel. Because whatever is leaven is, it's going to grow until it shall fill the whole world. Now it says also, it says it's hid. We're not supposed to hide the gospel. If the leaven there, and you preacher boys go back to school Monday morning and ask the professor what the leaven is, he'll say it's the gospel. I know this on tape over here. We played down East Texas Baptist College. I understand it's about taping this thing. But I preached it down there 4 years because I can send it down there all canned up. But he'll say it's the gospel. Now listen, my Bible says preach the gospel from the housetop. My Bible says go from house to house. And we're not supposed to hide it. It's for everybody. Amen. And so if it's the gospel, it wouldn't be here. It'd be preached everywhere. Who hides? The devil hides. All right? In three measures of meal. There's your Trinity. Meal was used in the Old Testament as a peace offering. Christ is the Prince of Peace. And so there is the hiding of the leaven, which is sin. And I'll say a few words about it after a while. In the world and in the church, which is supposed to preach God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, so there's your three measures of meal. There's your Trinity. And so leaven, dear friend, is a symbol of the growth of worldliness and sin and hypocrisy and apostasy in the churches and in the kingdom of God until finally all organized religion shall be of the devil, and only those who are saved shall be called out to meet the Lord in the air, and then shall the whole lump be leavened by sin. That's the teaching of the parable. Simple as it can be. Leaven's always been a symbol of sin. Punch your neighbor, wake him up. There's three folks sound asleep. Punch him, wake him up. Punch your neighbor. Just punch your neighbor. Good. Wake old Carl all up. Now, leaven, when Jesus told us to take the Lord's Supper, he told us to leave something out of the bread. What? Leaven, unleavened bread. Because leaven is a symbol of sin. When the Jewish family would observe the Passover, they had to go all over the house and take everything out of it that had leaven. They had to sweep the floors, they had to mop the floors, they had to go in every little crack and every crevice and be careful that there was nothing in the house that had leaven in it. So if that be the case, leaven is a symbol of something wrong, and the gospel is not wrong. And so this parable does not teach that the gospel is hid in the world and it grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. No, it teaches that the devil is taking his ugly, sorry, satanic forces and placing them in our churches. And it's growing, and it's growing, and it's growing, until finally, you mark my word, finally, every great denomination in this world shall be organized and operated and run by the devil and his satanic forces. And the National Council of Churches of Christ in America and the Revised Standard Version of the Bible and all the rest of it is nothing in the world, dear friend, but say Satan gathering his forces and creeping his ugly, ungodly teaching in the churches. And it's growing, and it's growing, and it's growing, until one day there'll be no place for a preacher preaching the truth.
Amen.
There'll be no place for a man of God who preaches salvation by grace through faith. There'll be no man who prays for a man of God who preaches that Christ may come at any moment. In many great denominations, in fact, in our beloved Methodist denomination, it is practically a sin to be a premillennarian. It is practically a sin. Now, I'm going to get down to us Baptists in a minute. Don't you Methodists get mad at me yet. I'm going to get down to us in a minute.
Amen.
It is practically a sin for any preacher to stand in his church and preach that Jesus can come at any moment. And when he does come, he'll come to establish a kingdom of peace upon the earth and shall rule and reign with his bride for 1,000 years. Listen, in many Methodist associations, you cannot even pastor church and believe that. You say, well, I don't believe criticize another denomination, but they criticize me.
Amen.
These ladies, I don't believe, I don't like those Baptists always criticizing other denominations. What you doing, sister? You criticize another denomination when you criticize us Baptists. Well, anyhow, in the world. And the Baptist church is about the same way.
Amen.
In the Palace Baptist Association, where we are, a man who believes and preaches. I didn't say just believes, I said preaches.
Amen.
The whole counsel of God, and who preaches that the leaven is a symbol of evil. And the world is going to get worse and worse until finally Jesus shall come in the air in the clouds of glory. A man who preaches that, even in Dallas, or anywhere in the Baptist circles, by many is considered a heretic and a fanatic and a full gospel and a Pentecost. But it's going to get worse. Hang on. It's going to get worse. Now then, there are three types of leaven. Now I want you to know this, though. In time you got leaven around, it grows, so it gets bigger. And growth is not always a sign of success. Fellas, that I know Middle Road Baptist Church is of the Lord because it's grown. That's no reason we're of the Lord. I know lots of liquor houses. Business is increasing all the time.
Amen.
I know lots of dance halls are getting bigger all the time. Bigger, bigger. Growth is not necessarily means of God. But it is a superficial. How many of you guys ever made any rolls? Huh? What do you put in to make them rise? Yeast, sure. And what do? They rise, and they rise, and they rise, and they fall. Huh? You made something like that, haven't you? Sure, I tell my wife, Moses didn't have it on her. Moses turned the rocks into bread. My wife turned many a pan of bread into rocks. That ain't nothing to talk. But now, leaven is simply yeast. And it's just corruption's all it is. Leaven is only corruption. And so, mark my word, that's what the teachers. Now, there's three leavens we ought to be careful of. The first one is the leaven of the Sadducees. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6, Jesus says, be careful or beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Now, the first one is the Sadducees. May I give you what the Leibowitz Bible Dictionary says the doctrine of the Sadducees is? One, the denial of the resurrection, personal immortality, and future retribution or judgment. Two, the denial of the existence of angels or spirits. Three, they upheld the freedom of the will to such an extent they repudiated divine providence. Now, the first thing they disbelieved, the Sadducees did, They disbelieved in the literal resurrection. They would come and say, now listen, fellas, we believe this Bible is the Word of God. Oh, it's a great book. But God didn't mean what He said when He said the dead should rise. God was sort of, well, he just meant that was a conversion. And when He said it's all about angels, little angels flying around, God didn't really mean there was actually beings called angels. That just means the good spirits. And when the Lord said that there was going to be a final judgment, God didn't mean that. He just meant all of us were going to be judged in our conscience. And the Sadducees were the crowd who, if they lived today, would be the amillennialists. They'd be president in their still life. They'd be in charge of the Union Thanksgiving Service. Mrs. Sadducee would be president of the Women's Alliance of Churches in Garland. Where all the folks who believe and don't believe would be together. You say, well, I'm sure glad you preached on this. I found out what you believe. I'm not going to join this church. That's why I preached on it, to keep you out. Amen. That's what you believe. And so the Sadducees did not believe in a literal interpretation. Listen to me. We don't need anybody else to explain the Bible. We need somebody else to believe the Bible. Amen. We got enough folks sitting around chewing tobacco and spitting and whittling and dipping their garrets who can explain the Bible. Brother, listen. You show me a man who will believe the Bible. I mean, say it from this cover to this cover. But as I even believe the cover is inspired, too. It says Holy Bible on it. And Scofield reference. It must be inspired. And so, I believe the whole thing's inspired of God. And when a man believes it, God will bless him. And you walk up and down the land, dear friend, you find behind pulpits men who will simply open the Bible and declare the whole counsel of God and say, I believe this book. I believe God means exactly what He said. No doubt in my mind about it. God said it, and I believe it. That settles it. I'll show you a church where the power of God falls. I'll show you a man that God can bless. What we need is some men who don't have enough sense to do anything but to believe the Bible and to preach the Bible and believe it, all of it. And just say, Lord, You said it. I believe it. That settles it. Well, The Sadducees didn't believe in literal creation. They started believing in a little evolution theory. You heard about the fellow who quoted the poem, didn't you? Once I was a tadpole, beginning to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey hanging from a tree. Now I'm a professor with a PhD. Now, take that back to college. Now, that's the Sadducees. The Sadducees would say, we don't believe in a definite new birth. That's our own fogey. We're more culture. Bologna. Boy, I used to drink cultured buttermilk. It ain't never took the place yet. A good old buttermilk. You know it? Huh? That's right. Just like Mama churned it, brother. The good old lumps of butter still in it. And they say, well, I don't believe in the new birth. Of course. Oh, it's good for some folks, the type of people that go to Miller Road. You know, good people, but they're not quite up to par. You know, sort of, you know. And they, well, it's all right for them. But for us folks who've been to college and us folks who've been to school, we know better. Listen, dear friend, I don't care how many degrees you've got. If you haven't been born again, you'll find hell as soon as I'm standing here this morning. The Sadducees, God says the word of it. They become so smart in their own conceit, professing themselves to be wise, the Lord says they have become fools. And they come back and they say, I don't believe all that old Bible. They say, we just all right, what it says, but now let's get us a new one. And in heaven, the Bible says heaven's got golden seats, but let's don't believe that the Sadducees say. It's just as good as gold. Just as good as gold. Now listen, dear friends. Those of us who know the Bible know that God has enough sense to tell us what kind of streets heaven's got. And they say, no use in believing that hell really has fire, because anybody who's cultured and refined and dignified knows that hell doesn't have fire. Listen, dear friend, since when do you have the right to put yourself in the face of God and point your finger in God's face and say, God, I have a degree now. I'm smart now. I know more than you know. I know you said it was fire, but I don't believe it. Listen, dear friend, that doesn't change one degree, not one. And then the Sadducees say, well, I know in Revelation the Bible says the devil is bound for 1,000 years. And I full well know that the Bible says that Jesus is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years on the earth. But, you know, scholarship has repudiated all that. Scholarship makes me want to regurgitate, not repudiate. It's repudiated all that. Those of us who understand the Word of God, we have come to realization that with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And the Lord didn't really mean what He said. Listen, dear friend, if God said 40, then 4. And if God said 10, He meant 10. And if God said 100, He meant 100. And if God said 1,000, God meant 1,000. And the Sadducees come up and they said, well, we believe that the Bible is good and Christianity is good, but we don't believe the size of the city, the holy city, is exactly what it says. And besides that, look at Revelation written by an old man who was scared to death. He wrote in symbols. And of course, also the miracles. Now, the miracle of the loaves and fishes. And the miracles of all, well, that anybody knows that Jesus couldn't make a bunch of fish and sandwiches for all those people. Now, they'll say, listen, the angels. I mean, all this thing about the angels with their flapping their wings. And listen, that we know that. Those of us who have more scholarship, we know that couldn't be true. And then there's this whole thing about the judgment and the white horses and the locusts. Listen, dear friend. God told Noah to build an ark. Noah built an ark, and Noah got saved. Those folks drowned. I'd rather be a dry fool than a wet scholar, hadn't you? Well, Sam Jones used to say, I'd rather study ABCs in heaven than study Greek and Hebrew in hell. Noah believed God, and Noah lived. And Jonah believed God, and Jonah lived after a while. Elijah believed God, and fire came from heaven. Every once in a while, some little person comes in this church here, you know, with their little white gloves on and a beautiful little hat with feathers sticking one way and oranges and apples dropping off the side, you know, and grapes all over it. And they wiggle down, you know, their little old foxes and mouton furs and sit down in the church, you know, ready for a pretty little sermon. And I get up preaching, I can just see him looking and say, oh, he's uncouth. We didn't know it was this kind. I mean, this is sort of cute. Let's come again sometime. And I go by and see him the next week and knock on the door, and Mrs. Peabody comes to the door. Except she doesn't look quite as cute as she did on Sunday morning. And she says, oh, that was a wonderful little service you had. I'm going to come to your little church again sometime. Like it was a little toy. And she goes back into some cold, dead, dry church that'll tell her not to believe the Bible and a preacher that'll do nothing and live nothing and say nothing Christianity. And she says, this is a solid church. Solid as a block of ice, dear friend. Oh, you hear me today. Listen, the world is dying and going to hell for lack of somebody to preach the truth to our people. And the Sadducees, who have become so smart and so educated, listen, this stuff's creeping in our churches. And I want to say this, that leaven causes churches to grow. Leaven causes growth. And when the leaven of the Sadducees gets in a church, it'll grow. I could take you some churches over close to SMU this morning. Baptist churches are growing like fire. Got big buildings and everything. Cost millions of dollars. Got tall steeples. Barry Watley worked on one of them. Tried to win the preacher of Jesus. They couldn't. But they're building their churches on Sadducee leaven. On denying the fundamental truth that this Bible is God's Word and this Bible is true. And into our churches and our denominations there is creeping a leaven of the Sadducees that's eating the very power of God from our pulpits and robbing our churches of real spiritual, honest to goodness, Holy Ghost fire again. And my Bible says cast out the old leaven. The second leaven that the Lord told us to beware of was the leaven of the Herodians. The Herodians were worldly people. They were religious, all right. They were a sect. They were very religious. But they're worldly. Now, dear friend, the leaven of the Herodians is coming to our churches, too. Let me just say a few words about that. Satan used to try to get in the church, and he couldn't. Or get the church in the world, and he couldn't. So he brought the world to church.
There was a day when the devil said, churches, come on to the world. And the preacher said, don't you go in the world. But let me see what the devil did. Now listen. The devil told the preachers to say, to think like this. Oh my. I tell my young folks not to go out there in the world. Well, if I'm going, now you ever hear this? If I'm going to tell them not to go out there, I better provide something for them at church. Did you ever hear that? I'd better do it. And so the devil, he got old Reverend so-and-so over here and said, now listen, Reverend, take your folks out to the dances. Why, he said, no, sir, I don't believe in dancing. He said, well, how about a square dance in your basement? Why, he said, that sounds all right to me. He went home, talked to his wife, and she said, honey, I've been thinking you've been a little hard all the time. She said, you know, sir, I've been worrying about the things that, you know, I know a preacher's wife in town that don't get spoke to on the street. Said, why don't you just sort of ease up? Now, my wife never says that. She sticks pin in and eggs me on, but some wives do. And why don't you ease up? And so he did. He couldn't get the church. And here's what happened. As soon as he got the world to come in the church, then the church became so used to the world, now the church leaves, now they leave the church and go out in the world. See? That's what they're doing. Because you can't save your life, throw as good a dance in your church basement as you can out there in Luann's. And fellas going to learn to dance, and they'll go out there and dance first class. See? I mean, you just can't save your life for as good a beer party in your church as you can out there on the beer joint. He can't get his bloody. So the devil brings the drinking in the church, and you say, it does it happen? It happens out in Dallas County.
Amen.
And the folks get used to it, and they go out in the world. Now all the stuff like dancing, card playing, pool tables, gamblers, and all-night parties, drinking, bowling alleys, skating rinks, shuffleboards, ping pong, pool, and all the rest of it. You show me a place in the Bible where God says do it, and we'll start one Monday morning.
Amen.
It's the leaven of the fire of the Herodians. Our churches have lost the power of God. You say sour grapes? Maybe so, but it's true.
Amen.
They've lost the power of God, and because of it, they have taken, they want to grow. That seems to be the symbol of success, is growth.
Amen.
And so we preach, and it don't work. And we preach, and the crowds drivel off. And so we want to grow because we've got to have a good report next association meeting. We've got to have a good report. So what do? We figure out some way to grow. So we pull in the leaven of the Herodians. And I want you, we cramming that stuff down to Southern Baptist Church as fast as we can get it.
Amen.
Just cramming the old leaven down. Leaven of the Herodians. Listen, boy, lots of churches, they lost the power of God, lost the zest for souls, lost the Holy Ghost blessing, and that's why some of you folks are mad right now, because you're used to it. If for one time in your life you ever got your old-fashioned Holy Ghost church that believed in preaching and praying and witnessing and for the fire of God to fall, it'd fill your soul if ever was saved. Yet because your church doesn't have it, sometimes you just go to pour in leaven. See, I'm trying to cut the crowd down this morning. The house is getting filled. You don't have enough room. So rather than build a new building, I'm just going to cut the crowd down a little bit. And so we're pouring leaven down. Just pouring leaven down. The old leaven of the Herodians. You know, church in San Antonio, pastor wrote me a letter and bawled me out for what I preach. Just skin me good. That same church has a bowling alley, skating rink, a museum. I think the pastor's the first relic in it. A museum. A hobby room. A dark room. They have a course on how to play golf, course on how to play tennis, course on how to skate. They teach how to make women's hats. Now, there's some improvement that needs to be made, I guarantee you, but the church isn't supposed to do it. They have a course on how to make billfolds. Everything but a course on how to get the power of the Spirit of God in your life.
Amen.
And he has the audacity to write me.
Amen.
And get on me for not doing the job right. And then there's a church over in Dallas. Baptist Church, belongs to the Dallas Baptist Association. That has every week dancing lessons taught in the church.
Did you hear me? I said there's dancing lessons taught in the church of a Southern Baptist church on just off Lakewood Boulevard, that where the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts come and they teach them how to dance in the building of the church.
Now, if you're going to fight somebody, why don't you let off a church trying to baptize 1,000 a year and go get on somebody like that?
Amen.
Baptized 20 last year.
20! 20!
A church that's got more money than we've got, and baptized 20! Feature it. Peter, you criticize me all you want to. You can go home and let alone yourself around the breakfast dinner table all you want to.
Amen.
You can say, old Jack, I was narrow-minded, fanatic, Pentecostal, fundamentalist, independent, BMA, whatever you want to say, dear friend. You can say what you want to, but when a church teaches dancing to 40 and baptizes 20 in a year, something's wrong with it.
Amen.
You say, well, let's just pray for the brethren. You know why I don't do that? They've already got enough folks praying for them now. I'm going to tell them about it.
Amen.
See? Everybody's praying. And you know what they're praying? Lord, give me patience so I won't have enough courage to fight that thing. Lord, don't loosen my tongue. What do they need? It's the mighty Elijah and John the Baptist to point their finger in Herod's face and say, you've sinned. And like Nathan, who will point to David and say, thou art the man. And if we don't get somebody in our churches to cast out the leaven of the Herodians, we're going to be in a pretty world of shape in a few years. I can tell you a church that's postponed their Sunday night preaching service for a 5 o'clock devotional. At 5 o'clock they have service, 6 o'clock they have training unit, 7 o'clock they play games and eat. It's time to go home at 9 o'clock. In Dallas!
Amen.
Southern Baptist! And yet, a bunch of little let-alone fellas will criticize a church like this who prays and preaches and witnesses and baptizes 704 in a year! Yet anybody raises a cry of opposition against our brethren who let the leaven of the Herodians come in, the place where we're calling off our Sunday night services, he becomes an off-brand and one that will not cooperate with all the brethren. No, sir, I won't cooperate with that.
Amen.
I don't want to cooperate. Listen, you show me a great Pentecostal revival, I'll cooperate in it.
Amen.
You show me a great prayer meeting, I'll be there on my knees praying. If you want to get a soul-winning man up and cover the city of Dallas for God, I'll go. But I'm not going to spend my life and my money and soak my church down the drain of Herodianism and places where people do not believe in the power of God. I'm not going to do it. And it's creeping in, dear friend. Some of you folks will say, man, I've never heard like this before. It's because you've been out trying to where the Herodian doctors preach. There's more leaven too mentioned. That's the leaven of the Pharisees. Did I get off everybody else now? Get on us? Huh? The Pharisees read their Bible every day. The Pharisees, they marked 100% on the little training unit every Sunday night. And they tried to be sure and hold over their shoulder so the fellow behind them could see. And the Pharisees led the opening prayer after the doxology and just before the call and response every Sunday. And the Pharisees always paid their tithe. Man alive, we're down at the bottom of the list now. Where are we going to go from there? All you folks don't tithe. Where are you going to be? What kind of leaven are you going to be? You got to be old month-old donuts, aren't you? The Pharisees always said, amen. And the more the preacher preached on dancing, the better they liked it. And the more he preached on cigarettes, the better they liked it. And the more he preached on smoking and drinking and cussing and gambling, the more they said, amen. And when the Pharisee preacher, when he fought the churches that had Sadduceeism and Herodianism in it, they said, amen, I like it that way. When it came down to having a genuine experience of salvation with God, they just didn't have it.
Amen.
They just didn't have it.
Amen.
Nicodemus was one of those. He came to Jesus one night and said, Jesus, our master, we know thou art a ruler of the Jews. Thou art the king of the Jews. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Why, he said, Lord, how can a man be born again when he is old? Then he entered his mother's womb the second time, and Jesus said, Nicodemus, I say again unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And listen, dear friends, the breeding place for Pharisees is a church like this. People who have the form on the outside, but not the spirit on the inside. People who claim to have it. Listen, my Bible says, cast out the old leaven. The leaven of the Sadducees. The leaven of the Herodians and the leaven of the Pharisees. I'll tell you what a Pharisee is and how he cast out the leaven. Old Leon Alexander was a Pharisee. You don't mind me saying that, because you are. Old Camel was a Pharisee. Did you ever notice that? The fellow started the Church of Christ with him, Alexander Camel. And Alexander and Camel, both were deacons here and got saved the same Sunday morning. Alexander Camel. He was a Pharisee. He taught every Sunday morning in men's Bible class. He sat over here in this corner and barked amen and everything I said. He put the collection sometimes. He led the opening prayer. He was a deacon, but he was going to hell. Pharisee. Fellow said, if everybody's Pharisees in our churches, everybody would tithe. Everybody would come to Sunday school. Everybody would stay for church. Everybody would come to training union. And everybody would stay for church. And everybody would come to prayer meeting. And everybody would come to visitation. And everybody would tithe. And everybody would read the Bible through. And everybody would pray. And everybody would die. And everybody would go to hell. Nicodemus was the ruler. He was a man, an important man. Jesus said, I don't care if you are a man, you'll go to hell if you don't get born again. Amen. And he said, I don't care if you are a ruler, you'll go to hell if you don't get born again. He said, if you're a teacher of Israel, I don't care what you are. He said, if you don't get born again, you will die and go to hell. No, my dear friend, listen. There's creeping into our churches great mass of unregenerate people who look like Christians, who talk like Christians, who dress like Christians, who say amen like Christians, who give like Christians, but who down inside their soul have never had a real, genuine experience of salvation with God the Father. And if you have not been born again, if God has not made you anew by regenerating power of the Spirit of God, if you have not been made renewed and saved in your soul, listen, the Bible says you shall in no wise enter in the kingdom of heaven. I appreciate these people that Sunday by Sunday walk down the aisle and say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not saved. On the outside, everybody thinks I'm saved. I want you to know something. It takes some courage to do it. Amen. Could I drop a little nugget here? You know who the most of them are? Women. Women. You ladies have got more pride than men have. And I'm as convinced as I am I'm standing here. The devil went in the Garden of Eden to get Adam and Eve. He started on Eve first because she was the weaker vessel. He deceived her with a false religion. And I believe she is the one who sewed those fig leaves together too. And so he deceived her. And I'm convinced that many, many a woman whose husband perhaps has been saved is hiding behind the fact that a woman's supposed to be sweet and kind and tender. And I believe there's more Pharisees among women than anybody else in the world. And I want to say this, dear friend. If you do not know in your soul today that you've had a real experience with God, you don't know that if Jesus came, like the lady said a while ago, she said, man, if I'd have fallen off one of those mountains, I'd have gone to hell, but now I've gone to hell. She said, I'd like to go up there again. And I don't wish she'd jump off or not. The way she talks, she might jump off one of those mountains. But I want to know if you know this. Listen, I think she knew what she said. I believe when she stood up here and said, if I had died, I'd go to heaven, I believe she meant it. And don't, for God's sake, don't hide behind a superficial Pharisees. And the Bible says, cast out the leaven of the Pharisees. And some of you folks today, in your soul, you need to cast out the old leaven of Pharisees and be saved with the power of the gospel. Let's bow our heads for prayer, please.